Support for Sauce of the Scary is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. And fellas, let's face it, every once in a while, you're ready to get a little paranormal activity going, but you got to take care of Toby and the boys downstairs. Manscaped is the best product for such an occasion. As a redesigned electric trimmer, they've spent over 18 months engineering and perfecting the greatest hair trimmer ever created with the Lawnmower 3.0. And we want you, for Father's Day or for any special occasion, we want you guys to have the perfect package 3.0. So here's what you need to do. Go to manscaped.com, enter the promo code SCARYPOD. You get 20% off and free shipping. Manscaped.com, SCARYPOD is the promo code, 20% off and free shipping. Gonna give yourself the best Father's Day present ever of all time. So once again, make sure and head on over to manscaped.com, promo code SCARYPOD for 20% off and free shipping. Make sure you take advantage of this while you can. And as always, we thank Manscaped for their sponsorship of the show. And for right now, enjoy the show. Hey guys, welcome to a new episode of Sauce of the Scary. Derek Zhu and Jeff Wright back in the studio. Jeff Wright, what's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm just hanging in there, man. Strange days.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we are in the middle of strange occurrences over here on the Sauce Up the Scary podcast. We are on Paranormal Activity 3. We're halfway there, baby. We're Bon Jovian it.
Is it only halfway?
I think so.
I was hoping it would be like 4/5.
Oh, man. Yeah, me too. But we've got 4, and then the I forget what the 5th one's called, and then we have Ghost Dimension, which, Jeff, I don't think I've ever seen.
Well, maybe it's best for... maybe it's best for you to keep it that way, and I can just throw you like, did this or did this not happen in the movie? And you can just guess your way through.
Yeah. We'll set up a Zoom call on Saturday night. We'll have a trivia.
True or false? Katie is now a bat.
If she is, it's made it 100% better, in my opinion, because then maybe it's going to bleed into what we do in the shadows.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. A true gift you have given me. Much appreciated.
Have you got a chance to watch the TV show yet?
Yeah, I'm about 3 episodes in, I guess. Okay. I don't think this is too crazy of a spoiler, but the female vampire has just made another vampire.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, I'm delighted by the whole thing. I've also been watching like the outtakes and the preparatory material, like where they were getting ready to make the movie. Mm-hmm. And those are really funny too.
Yeah. I'm in love with that show. The season finale was last week, and I watched it last Wednesday, but then I also, after watching Paranormal Activity today, I also turned on What We Do in the Shadows. It's a nice palate cleanser.
Just wanted to get your brain clear.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
Do you have a favorite character yet?
Well, favorite character. I will tell you, the guy who makes me laugh the most is the psychic vampire.
Yeah, Colin Robinson.
Yeah, when I can't remember all their names, but when like the main vampire, you know, the guy who's on the screen most of the time, when he enchants that town council guy to like announce the coming of the Dark Ones.
Yeah.
And there's just a huge fight and they drag him off and all that stuff. And it goes to the psychic vampire. His eyes are super wide. He's just having the best time of his life. I laughed for quite a while.
Yeah.
Quite a while.
Yeah, Colin Robinson really is kind of the MVP of that series.
Now that so far has been my favorite parts of it.
Yeah. I'm a big Laszlo fan. He's the bearded one that always goes bat when he turns into a bat.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
He not to spoil anything for you, but in the second season, he has a run in with Mark Hamill. That is still my favorite episode of the series so far.
Okay. Well, I'll have to hustle up and get my way through this.
Yeah. It's so good.
Okay.
Yeah. So anything else you're watching or have been watching this week?
No, man. The world is not giving us stuff to watch. I think the horror industry pretty much looked at 2020 and said, you know what? You're doing just fine on your own. So we're just going to take a breather here, take a breath, come back to y'all a little bit later.
Yeah. Yeah. You're probably not wrong on that. I tell you, man, I have finally been able to access all of my episodes of The Last Dance. And so sometime this weekend, I'm going to blaze through all of that.
Attaboy. Get ready. Get ready. It's a beautiful trip down nostalgia lane.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, please do feel free to text me like running thoughts and whatnot. I'm here for all that.
I will for sure. And then the other last documentary I'm on is, of course, the Undertaker's Last Ride documentary.
Yeah, I need to watch that.
Yeah, it's the series finale will be this Sunday, and I've really enjoyed it so far. This past episode, I think, has probably been my favorite one. He really is just like a goofy dude, man. It's kind of crazy. It's given me a whole new respect for him as like a performer, that he kept the character for so long, and he's finally pulling back the curtain to where you can see who he really is, and he is nothing like, you know, what that character is. It's really cool to see.
Yeah. I mean, he protected it so well for so long, you know. It's almost strange. I've heard him on a podcast, I think just one, but I heard him on a podcast just being a regular dude, and I'm like, man, it's just odd still. It's just odd.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I ever told you this or not, but my biggest claim to fame back in the day was my uncle laid the carpet in the Undertaker's house in Nashville.
Oh, no. I don't think we've ever talked about that.
Yeah. So the Undertaker lived in Nashville for a long time with his first wife. And so David was the guy that laid their carpet. And he told me that there was a bunch of, like, not necessarily demonic, but it looked... He said that there was a motorcycle in the kitchen that said Dead Hog on the side of it. And maybe there was like some gargoyles and stuff. And I just wondered if like he was so committed to the character that he put a bunch of that stuff in there. So even when people had to come over to the Undertaker's house, that it felt like the Undertaker's house.
Yeah, man. I'm totally willing to believe either version of that. That's just who the guy is, you know. Or he set that up because he knew people would come in and he had to protect the business. Both of those stories really work for me.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. He called me. You know, I feel like it was a day, like a Saturday or something. He called me up and he said, "Hey, man, have you ever heard of The Undertaker?" I was like, "Yeah, Undertaker's one of my favorite wrestlers."
Couple times.
I said, yeah,
couple
just times. Yeah. He said, "Yeah, I just met his wife. I'm doing the flooring in his house." And they actually sent me a picture. It wasn't an autograph, but it was a publicity like 8x10 of Undertaker and Paul Bearer, and it was in this nice frame. Dude. And they gave it to me. Yeah, Undertaker gave it to me.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it's pretty neat.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if it takes an uncle laying carpet to get you in front of the Undertaker or get a connection with him, that just seems like providence.
Yeah, I agree. Unfortunately, I can't pay his public appearance fee, personal appearance fee. So that'll probably be as close as I ever get to him. But
yeah, well, closer than somebody.
That's true. That's true. If I ever meet him, that's what I'm going to tell him. Michael laid carpet in your house.
He's a nice guy. He'd be like, yeah, I remember that. He did a great job.
Yeah, for sure.
The sports writer that I heard interviewing him said that, he's like, man, one time we were in Vegas together and I went into the restroom and there was the Undertaker using the restroom, using the urinal next to me. And I was like, how weird is this guy's life that people tell him stories like this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No chance in a million he remembered it. And of course, the Undertaker didn't. The guy told him, like, I said, hey, XYZ. And he's like, yeah, I have no idea. So that's probably three sheets to the wind. But I got really nervous when you said, one time I was in Vegas the same time you were.
That's awesome. Did I ever tell you about my wrestler restroom run-in?
No.
So I have two. The first one was... We should probably tell stories like this off air.
like I said, it's either this or rank depression. So
that's true. The first one was it was the year was 1995, and we were at the In Your House pay-per-view in Nashville, and it was before the show started. And I was in the restroom, washed my hands, everything, because I feel like that's important to tell you. And I walk out. And I think I made a right instead of making a left or vice versa. And I almost ran straight into Sid Vicious.
Oh.
And then the next thing I see is here comes Ted DiBiase. And then here comes the Godfather. Of course, he wasn't the Godfather. Then he was Kama. And maybe like Henry Godwin was another one.
Oh, my.
And I just kind of stand there for a second because I'm like, is this really happening? they realize that people can see him, so they walk away. Bam Bam Bigelow walks through, and that was about the time that, like, all the kids ran up and, like, Bam Bam, can we get an autograph? And,
sure.
You know, of course, Bammer walked back in, you know, walked back through the door to get to the locker room. But for 9-year-old Derek, that was the coolest thing that ever happened to him in his entire life.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds pretty cool, even right now.
Yeah.
I feel that.
And then, let's see, 2007, it was the day after Christmas, and Chris Jericho was signing his copy of his first autobiography at the Barnes & Noble in Madison, Tennessee. And me and Big Al and our other best friend, Scotty, we all rode up. I think I was in Nashville, of course, you know, because my family are all there. But we met there to meet Jericho and get his books and get our book signed by him. And I had to use the restroom. And as I walk into the restroom, the door opens and Jericho saunters in right behind me.
Wow.
Wow. And yeah. And so we have an awkward kind of interaction there. Cause I mean, it's two guys in the restroom, so it's not going to be a cool interaction. And then when I meet him at the front of the line, you know, to get my book signed, he says, "Hey, you again." he said, "This time it'll be a little less awkward because, you know, things aren't happening." I said, "Yeah, for sure."
And Jericho's as cool as I thought he was.
Yeah, he's super cool. That's great.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah. So those are my two run-ins with the wrestlers.
Yeah, literally never had an encounter with a famous person anywhere near a restroom. Not even like walking near one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I was about to call you on your BS though, because I've got a picture on my phone of you and a certain Buff Bagwell.
That's true. That's true. But that was not near a restroom.
Was not near a restroom.
I had to guard the money sack, so. Couldn't turn my back on the guy.
Yeah, boy, you ain't kidding there. Judy, grab the money.
Yeah. Well, buddy, we don't have any trailers or horror reported this week.
Okay.
So we went into a let's tell stories from our personal lives just to try to avoid getting to this movie. But I think we're going to have to.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find good content before we have to be depressing.
Go for that.
But well, I'm actually hoping that the horror uncle shows up so that it's not all gloom and doom.
He may show up at some point. He may show up at some point, but it's going to take a little while.
Yeah.
He's kind of got to talk himself into it. So are you ready to pull the curtain on Paranormal Activity 3?
Did I ever tell you about the time that I don't have anything.
Did you ever hear the story about how the Undertaker saw Chris Jericho in the restroom one time?
Every time at the time I was wearing my Dwayne the Rock Johnson shirt and the lady at the gas station thought I was wearing a picture of myself on my t-shirt.
Yeah. Happens all the time, doesn't it? Every time you wear
it. It does, unfortunately.
Hey, is there a subtitle or like a continue title, or is this just Paranormal Activity 3?
Paranormal Activity 3. This time we're really grasping at straws. That's the
Paranormal Activity 3, Blood from a Turnip.
Yeah. Beating a dead horse.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me lead off here, okay?
Well, before you do, Wahlberg!
You might as well have to do this with us, pal.
What? No!
Spoiler alert. Nobody gets out alive.
That's right. Everybody dies.
On the podcast.
On the podcast. That's right.
So, this movie has the unfortunate problem of having to go earlier in history, but the quality of the video getting better.
Yeah, so that is the first thing that I wanted to talk to you about.
Oh, good, good.
Number one, how in 1988 is anybody, I don't care if you're a videographer or not, but how do you have high-definition cameras with night vision in 1988?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can take an HD print from VHS. Now, somebody out there who actually knows film is going to be like, yes, you can, dummy. Here's what, you know, but like there's an aspect ratio, right? It's it's basically a square. And so maybe you can be like, yeah, you can get super HD in that square, but this is a widescreen movie.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm watching this and I didn't watch it on a 4K TV, but I was like, you had a 4K VHS recorder and whatever it was, 1988.
Yeah. Also, let me give you the three biggest problems I have straight out the gate with this movie.
Okay.
Number one, are we watching this videotape or is Daniel recording the videotape off the camera that he was using in Paranormal Activity 2.
So I think what's happening is he used one of the old tapes from the storage bin, or you know, where Katie's storing tapes over at their house.
Right.
To film the break-in, what we assumed was the break-in scene from the second movie.
Okay.
And when he turned the... When he stopped filming the break-in, we see the rest of the tape that he did not end up recording over.
Okay.
That's what I think's going on here.
Okay, so is that from the cops, or did Toby get some kind of 4K VHS player, or the situation?
I don't know. I mean, I think we're supposed to believe that Proto Mika, whatever the boyfriend's name is, who looks just like Mika.
Dennis
was doing this because he was into video editing.
Okay.
So I think it's supposed to be his, but that's just my conjecture. I don't know who's editing these things. I have a major question about that, in fact.
Yeah, as do I. As do I. Okay.
Well, let me ask you this.
Hang on real quick, because this is your
criticism off your chest. I'm good.
This is my biggest gripe, and then feel free to go from there with it. If the cops found all of this, so Mika died on October the 8th. The bodies of Daniel and Christy were found on October the 12th, along with this tape. Why are we going in this? I almost swore. Why are we going in this mixed up chronological order? Like, why wouldn't you show us what happened to the girls first, and then what happened to Christy and Daniel second, and then the actual Paranormal Activity comes out on third? And I'm not saying, I guess that's in like a kayfabe type of way, right? Like, if the cops are going to let this stuff out, clearly they have all this information. Why are they letting the Katie Mika thing happen, and then they're going to put out this thing about the, you know, they're going to do a prequel, and then they're going to go even farther back and do another prequel 18 years before anything happened?
I'm just going to try, because it's my job here to be the optimist, right?
Mm-hmm.
So does it work as a scenario that the events went down with Mika and Katie, and the police got involved by researching basically Mika's videotapes? And then they realized, oh, Katie has a sister. We should go check on her. And they call up their 30-minute away colleagues. And they say, actually, there's some videotape footage here that's unexplainable. And then as they investigate the two crimes together, they find the tapes from, what was Katie's sister's name?
Christy,
thank you. From Christy's house's storage. And so that, does that work?
Yeah, I guess, man.
I'm trying, man. I'm doing what I can.
Yeah, you're doing better than I think they are.
That could be the case.
My frustration isn't with you. It's with just the ridiculousness of all of this stuff.
Paranormal Activity 9. We're bending over backwards to try, folks.
Yeah, like Dennis.
Well played, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a thing that happened. Yeah. All right, do you have another third thing to get off your chest?
No, I guess the third thing was whose video, like whose VCR are we watching this in? Because it still doesn't make sense to me.
I think this is a police like intern.
Yeah.
And they're just stuck in the evidence room, and somebody on the force told them, hey, you want to see something freaky? Go find case number XY72. And the guy's like, oh my gosh, this is how I become a YouTube star.
Yeah.
Do you think more of an understanding on my side than the people making this movie?
Yeah. Do you think that the police station put the subtitles and stuff on this thing?
I think the intern did that.
Yeah. Okay.
He did it to sell Google ads.
Okay. Yeah. Then go for it. I think I'm. Those are the initial three reactions I had in the first 5 minutes of this movie. Besides, something that I said to you before we hit record was, I hate the fact that this movie spoiled itself by showing us that we're literally going to be watching paint dry.
Maybe that's commentary. So I looked it up. This movie came out right between when Instagram was released for iOS and Android. And, you know, when it, I mean, it took a while for Instagram to really take over the world. You know what I mean? Like, you had it, you used it a little bit, weren't really sure how that would work with just pictures. But then it becomes this huge thing. I feel like if this movie is released, say, 2 years later than it was, and we've all sort of gotten our head around Instagram with these retro camera filters, this movie looks a lot different, don't you think?
Yes.
Like, we'd get the 4:3 aspect ratio. It would have a filter on it. They would add in some of that, like, white line static noise that happens when you adjust the tracking on a VHS tape.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the case?
Yeah. And that was another thing that I was upset about, was the fact that this is supposedly an 18-year-old film, or an 18-year-old VHS, you know, from the time that, they're watching it, I assume.
Yeah.
And how is it not got some kind of tracking lines on it, or anything? It just, I mean, it looks pristine. And obviously we know why, because, you know, they filmed it in 2014 or whatever, but still, you gotta make some kind of, you gotta have some kind of creativity about that stuff, because for me, it just takes me right out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It is interesting to watch and just be like, how did you get this tech, and how are these tapes not degraded at all? They've just been sitting in a cardboard box in somebody's basement. So it is a big challenge. I really do think, like, if somebody out there is clever with editing, they should do this movie a favor and just put it on an Instagram style filter and chop it down to a more squared off ratio and see if people find it more viable. So in a related way too, another problem with this movie is it has to give more scares per hour just because its audience is going to have seen two of these already. But then you have to go back to the first film and say, why is Toby able to be more active and do more stuff in 88 than he is today?
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the first movie, you get this idea that, like, he's building up to stuff. And really, there's some of that in the second, because they're prequel sequel. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But in this one, dude, he's the heavyweight champ of the world. He just does what he wants.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why he had to slow down when the girls got older.
I mean, I guess maybe his power is drawn from younger people. Okay. Maybe he's Chris D'Elia, right? And just needs underage girls in order to be powerful.
Oh my gosh. Well, so more on that in a minute.
I couldn't help but do a Chris D'Elia joke. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. It's this movie and an episode based around it needs all the help it can get.
Yeah.
It draws on young people, so it is getting weaker and 20 years later. That's fine. I don't care enough to poke holes in that.
Yeah. I just assumed that maybe that's it, you know, because they're constantly wanting, I assume they're constantly wanting Christy to marry Toby and possibly have his child.
Which, by the way, is that really where we should go with this? Like, the child bride thing just made this movie go from mediocre to gross.
Yeah, I completely agree.
What? It wants to eat her soul, and it was promised that it would get to when she became, you know, 30 years old, whatever.
Yeah.
The whole Toby's the groom thing, dude, I just, like, my skin crawled off of my body, leaving organs and skeleton exposed, went underneath my desk to die, and I had to put it back on. It was so awful.
Yeah. Yeah. It went to a place that I didn't, obviously that it didn't need to go to, but I didn't expect it to go to either. I guess another question that I have is, I don't understand how it skipped Julie.
Yeah, now maybe that'll be explained in the coming, because, I mean, by the time we end this movie, the girls are with the people who will do what Toby wants done.
Right.
You know what I mean? So maybe it'll help us figure out how that's supposed to work in continuity. But I've got no good answer for that either.
Yeah. And I mean, clearly Julie is unimportant to Toby because, you know, she's the first one of the main four that gets killed at the end. So I don't know if Grandma... I don't know if Grandma spared Julie because she thought that Julie would eventually sire a child, a male child for Toby, because that's what I'm assuming that the demon wants, right? He wants a male child.
Yeah. That's the idea.
And that's the reason why, you know, he's gone after Hunter or Wyatt or whatever the kid's name is in the second one. Yeah, there's a lot. I feel like that there's a lot of unanswered questions that we'll never get to in this thing.
And that may be for the best. Maybe that, maybe,
yeah,
Maybe they could just release a comic that ties up the loose ends and that replaces the last movie in the series.
Or maybe they just never release another one.
Yeah, maybe. So, I mean, we've already gotten to the creepy stuff. I've got other stuff to talk about, but the what's the Proto Mika guy's name? Daniel?
Dennis.
I mean, he's so forgettable because you're just like, oh, you're Mika from 1988, you know?
But I think that he's Mika with a conscience because he's doing everything he can to get rid of this thing. He's doing everything he can to protect the girls. Like, I think I said last week that this series does no favors to the male genre, for the male gender, because all of them are a bunch of D-bags. Dennis is the first one that I've seen that actually takes this thing seriously and wants to try to get rid of it. And Julie, the mom, is the one that's dismissive, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
He doesn't do a good job with it. Like, instead of showing her footage that would be like, oh, yeah, we got to get the F out of here. He's like, here, I've been researching this witch's coven. You should probably look at it. Instead of, hey, I've got footage of the demon pulling Katie by the hair.
Yeah. So on that particular scene, which, by the way, you're right. I shouldn't lambast the first decent male character we've had in the movie who wasn't a baby. I really feel like, I've been married for a while now. My wife and I have had arguments. We've had the kind of arguments where she's like, I don't want to hear any more about this. I'm done talking about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If I have footage of a demon lifting her daughter up by her hair, though, I'm going to leverage everything in the relationship. I'm going to go stand in front of the door and say, we can be broken up after this is done. You can throw me out of the house. I won't blame you. But I am insisting, which maybe that sounds too aggressive to people, but like, you've got footage of a demon lifting your daughter by the hair. I'm not saying you do this over what restaurant we're eating at tonight, but you kind of throw everything you got into that. I just need you to, you know, I need 15 minutes of your time and we can break up when we're done. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When Katie comes in crying, again, you go stand in front of the door and say, let me tell you why she's crying and show you. You know what I mean? And like, it's fine. Call the cops and have them escort me out when we're done. I'm not going to hurt you, but you have to see this. That was a major point of breakdown for me. But they've been setting it up. And this is much more, I don't know, maybe this is more nitpicky, but two things. I think first, it's really weird that mom is more uncomfortable with Daniel shooting her smoking weed than she is when he's like, let's make a sex tape.
Yeah.
I just thought those were incongruous.
Yeah. Also, it's really gross that the girls have been carrying around their dead mom's sex tape for the last 30 years.
100%. And I mean, if they have any inkling that that's on there, maybe that's why they've never watched these videos.
Yeah.
But I was like, wait a minute. Weren't you the one tripping out a minute ago about weed?
Yeah.
And then also, just if you can, you know, I realize that there's important differences that you and I will never be able to understand fully between being a man and being a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say you're dating a guy long term. You're in love. He's a great guy. Your daughters love him, too. He's really great with them. You really think there's something special here. And one day he comes to you and says, I want to put a video camera in the girl's bedroom. Do you not immediately end the relationship and get a restraining order?
Yeah, huge red flag.
That's another one where I'm like, that no dating relationship, no marriage, I think, survives that.
Yeah.
I really don't even know how to describe it. I just think that it's an impossibility. It's more impossible in my mind than the demon showing up to try to take possession of a kid.
Yeah.
You don't put video cameras in little girls' bedrooms. Hard pass. It's so weird that I can't believe somebody at Paramount or whoever wasn't like, wait, what? I'm sorry, I think I've got a bad copy. It says he puts a camera in the girl's bedroom?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how they don't, how that one made it through. I mean, I think you're agreed. I'm not missing anything, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah. Well, so maybe I'll throw some good stuff on the record, okay?
Well, here's one more that I've got that kind of blows my mind is, what does Julie do for a living to have that kind of house in 1988?
Either that or Daniel is bawling as a video editor.
Yeah.
And we didn't have a lot of video editing done in 88. I was too young probably to know if we had, but I can't imagine that's pulling in six figures.
No. Well, maybe, though. I don't know. I mean, you know, VHS used to be $50. when they first came out. So maybe you're able to. But I mean, as far as I could get from context clues, that's Julie's house and Dennis has moved into it because Julie's mom is very dismissive of him and his business. And Julie has to come to his defense and be like, well, mom, he owns his own business. Yeah. So I'm just assuming that either Julie's family has had money. Maybe that's what it is, right? Because they're supposedly made some kind of deal with a demon for riches and stuff. So maybe it's just a trust.
Yeah, maybe mom and her cult are just keeping the line up, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Keeping Julie fertile for that male child.
I think we're figuring this movie out better than the people who made it.
Yeah, it seems that way.
The people tasked with creating the next film are just furiously writing notes, listening to the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. But it did, man. Like, it caught me off guard. I was like, man, just once I want to see Toby haunt like a trailer park or something. Why is it always got to be these waspy, bougie people and these nice houses? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Which, in fairness, I guess by the time we get to the Paranormal Activity that is set around the Latin family,
mm-hmm.
they're in sort of a low income area, is the impression.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
maybe the people who made this movie franchise realized that needed to quit being suburban Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
So here's another one. It goes back to something you said earlier. These girls have not only held tapes in their custody that showed their mom starting a sex tape, but they've got tapes that show their mom being killed by a demon, her body flung down the stairs, her boyfriend being turned into a human pretzel, and then them being led up the stairs by their grandma to consort with a demon.
Mm-hmm.
How did Katie get these tapes? At no point in her adult life, she thought, oh, I'll watch the old family videos.
Yeah. Well, she mentioned something about that at the very beginning, that she got them in, like, I guess it was mom's old stuff, or no, it was when grandma died is when she got them.
Okay. So she got them from grandma and never watched them, but wanted to hang on to them?
I guess so.
Yeah, that's weird. But I mean, that's better than nothing. At least they tried to stick it in there. I wonder if my eyes had glazed over already by that early point.
Probably. I just assume that it's one of those things where you would want to hang on to it for historical purposes. But for me, like, dude, if I had anything like that in my possession, I'd at least watch it once.
Yeah. If you cared enough to own the family tapes, you'd eventually get them out and look at them at some point. Like, we've done that already. My family is fairly young in this process. You know what I mean? Like, I'm talking about my nuclear family. And we've done that with stuff when the kids were younger. So,
yeah,
I don't know. All right, so some positives, just some positives.
None.
It's really cheap, but they pull off a cheap rope-a-dope that is fairly clever, and it's built on something that I thought was fairly clever, okay?
Okay.
So when Proto Mika takes the fan apart and sets a camera on it, I thought, you know, out of all the stuff they've been sloppy about, this doesn't look like a VHS tape. It certainly doesn't look like one from 1988. It doesn't look like one that has degraded the way a videotape from 1988 sitting in a box in the basement would. The idea of somebody being like, you know what, I need to see two rooms, I'm going to mount it on a fan, I thought that was fairly clever. That was a way to get around some technological limitations. So then, like, 35 minutes in, after the panning camera on the fan base is set up, again, it's pretty cheap, but they did a pretty good rope-a-dope. I don't know if you'll even remember this. We see, I guess, Julie in the kitchen eating a snack, and it's just panning back and forth, and then it pans away and comes back, and we see that for some reason Julie has stuck her hand down in the garbage disposal.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And I'll just be honest. I was sitting there thinking, yeah, okay, it's going to come on and maul her hand.
Yeah.
But they don't do that. They pan over to the light bulb exploding.
Right.
And again, super cheap, but considering the clever use of technology and the way that I thought they were setting me up for one thing and they delivered another, that's a positive. It's a small positive, but it goes in the positive category. Will you allow me that?
I disagree with it, but yeah, I'll allow it too.
You saw it coming, like, I'm guessing.
I didn't care.
Yeah.
I think that's where it is for me. There's so much about that stuff that doesn't pay off that by the time it does pay off with stuff like that, it doesn't. Honest to goodness, man, I rewound it to make sure, because I wasn't even paying attention at that point.
Yeah.
Well, so when the light bulb explodes, When the light bulb explodes, I had to rewind it to see what had happened. And I think this was the part that I found intriguing. I'm pretty sure that she takes God's name in vain when she's like trying to dig stuff out of the garbage disposal.
Huh.
I'm not 100% sure on that, but I'm fairly sure about it. And I thought that that was an interesting thing, that if she's going to say, you know, if she's going to swear like that, and then is that what made Toby mad?
Yeah, why would that trigger him to blow the light bulb?
Yeah.
Why does he care about light bulbs? The answer to that, of course, is the exact same reason he cares about pool cleaners.
Yeah, Toby's a dick. I mean, he'd rather do these jackass-type pranks than kill people.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there is something about his motivations that confuse me.
He's Ashton Kutcher.
Well, okay, so let me throw another one at you here, because this movie raises... Because we take it too seriously here, I do. It raises more questions than it answers. So it was a fairly cool trick to play on the babysitter to take her ghost sheet thing and then poof and vanish away. I'm fine with that. I thought that was fairly creepy the first time I watched the movie. That's cool. But Toby's clearly a kid, right?
I guess so, man.
He was like, I mean, the thing in the sheet was like 4.5 feet tall.
Yeah.
And I know there's an Xbox Live scene that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Is Toby, do you remember from the franchise, is Toby like always been a demon, or is he a ghost that became a demon? Was he a boy at some point?
I don't remember. I think that he's always been a demon. I just assume that he can shapeshift. So for that scene, he took the appearance of Christy under the sheet just in case, like, the babysitter turned around and saw that it was Christy.
Yeah, yet again, that makes more sense than I think they were, you know, giving it when they planned this thing. Because Christy later, when she's bargaining for the release of Katie, she's clearly looking up at someone who's a lot taller.
Right.
And when Katie runs into Toby, she looks up, too. I don't know if she can see him the way her sister can, but she's looking up in the air, too.
Yeah. And also, when Toby is going full voyeur, when Dennis and Julie are in there trying to get their freak on and the earthquake happens, which I don't know if that was Toby doing the earthquake and just being the ultimate block, or if that was just a natural disaster that happened in California that happens.
Yeah.
But the dust hits him and he's clearly not 4.5 feet tall then.
Yeah. 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 This movie got creepy pretty quick, I guess. So can I tell you the truth? I think I've seen this movie 3 times. I saw it in the theater. I think I have since watched it again. I think this is my 3rd time through. I never noticed the like dust falling on Toby till this time through.
Really?
I was like, I know something's going on here. They're lingering forever, but I just don't see it. And it took to Mom being like, yeah, this is what it's like to see the Virgin Mary in the toast, for me to go back and be like, what is he talking about? And I finally saw it.
Which, by the way, the Virgin Mary and the toast didn't happen until 1994.
Well, maybe Toby got the idea from Julie.
Get your crap right.
Well, look, they didn't have 4K video camera technology either, pal.
Yeah, that's true.
Priorities.
A lot of stuff I hate about this movie.
Yeah. So, two things. Watching these movies in quick succession is a help and a hindrance in this way. I didn't realize how much this movie riffed on the first two. So we get a scene of Christy coming in to watch her mom and Proto Mika sleep for a long time, right?
Yeah.
That scene had no effect on me whatsoever. Because I was like, yeah, that really meant something when it was Katie standing over Mika, but I've seen it already.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just stick that in here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when Katie is getting drug off by Toby, that's... You know, as a guy who has daughters, that's a pretty powerful scene. But her getting violently snatched away isn't nearly as powerful as it was when I saw it in Paranormal Activity 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I feel like there's a little bit too much rinse and repeat here instead of trying to do something new with the franchise.
Yeah.
I mean, snatch Katie up in the air and pin her to the ceiling and, like, drop her pretty rapidly and catch her and take her back up to get Christy to do what you want. Give me something different. You know what I mean? I guess I feel like the people making this movie have gotten lazy.
Yeah.
So it did take away some of the scares for me. But it did enhance some of the storytelling. Like grandma pressuring Julie to have another kid so she can have a boy. I don't think I paid any attention to that the first two times I saw the movie. I think the fact that I know she wants to have a boy and I know, like, it's fresh in my mind where this movie is going, that added a little, like, creepy, sinister overtone to it. Makes sense. I mean, I'm sure you didn't feel that way, but yeah, just the idea that some of the plot that's thin already, maybe it does help to watch them back to back to back to gather up as much as you can.
Yeah.
Well, two last things. At the ending of this movie, when Proto Mika goes to Dennis, tries to get the girls out of the grandma's house, and he goes to get Katie. Katie was possessed, right?
Yes.
By Toby?
Yes.
Did the demon leave her? Like, does he possess her as he feels needful?
I guess, man.
Then why is it such a big deal that he's creeping up on her in the first one?
I don't know.
It's because
this franchise doesn't play within its own rules. It just makes it up as it goes along.
Oh, it's the cardinal sin of a sequel, right? Don't make me dislike the predecessor movies. Because it's a big deal when the demon finally possesses Katie, because we've seen him ruin something good, right? And then it, as I mentioned in Paranormal Activity 2, a review of that one, the fact that Katie is trapped in this existence is poignant and sad. She's now the Terminator. But like, now that I know that he possessed her as a kid, which indicates to me he can kind of do it when he wants to, this is now the second time we've seen it. It's just all a little less meaningful. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not happy about any woman being possessed by a demon and used for nefarious purposes. I'm just saying, like, you're making common something that was supposed to be special. I didn't like that.
Yeah, I agree. It is making the situation whatever you need for it to be.
Yeah.
And So I guess here's my question for you. Or I don't even expect you to answer this, but I guess it's a hypothesis or whatever to set up for next week as well. Is Katie cognizant of what's going on, or was she really possessed by Toby? Like, is she a witch and has finally got the extent of her powers that were given to her, I assume, that night when Julie and Dennis are murdered? Or did Toby take a hold of her in the first one? And now Toby, you know, she going forward, she is under his spell, or is this all on her own free will? Does that make sense?
Yeah, maybe she is kind of sold out to him and made a deal with the devil. I don't know. Maybe. Well, I guess we'll look to see if they thought enough about it to give us clues in the next movies. You already alluded to it. Maybe the last positive thing I got to say about this movie. Mika's death was pretty gruesome. And
in the first movie?
Sorry, I keep calling him. Yeah. Proto Mika. Dennis. Dennis's death is pretty gruesome.
Yeah.
And was well executed.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't just do that to him when he first came in the house.
For reasons.
Yeah. I don't know why, if they're going to kill Mom and Dennis, they wait till that night.
Right.
It's not like the girls are sleeping in the same room with him.
Right.
I mean, it's literally so he can grab the video camera, which no one would do, and hide in the closet and then see possessed Katie.
Yeah.
But still, the death was pretty gruesome and it worked. Like,
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Yeah.
I'll give you that one. But it's crazy to me that when he goes inspecting the crawl space that I guess Toby was living in, he doesn't
live places. Yeah, sorry.
No, you're fine. To answer your question, I have no idea. I guess maybe to keep an eye on them.
Yeah. I mean, does he require physical space, though? Because now he's just the invisible man.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he just, I don't know. Because, I mean, you know, they've got those fingerprints on the crawl space at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I was saying for that is I don't know why Dennis doesn't use his light on his camera for that.
Sure.
Because all it does is just sets up that jump scare with Christy.
Yeah.
But then later on when he and Christy are in the closet together, he has the light on the camera.
But he's also supposed to be hiding from the demon.
Yeah, that's just what I was about to say, is like, it doesn't make sense if you're going to hide from a witch's coven why you would have your light on in a closet where clearly I'm going to be able to see that illuminating under the door.
Yeah. Yep, I hear you, dude.
Also, where did all those witches go?
Mm-hmm. Why do we need all the witches there? If
another jump scare.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's Hereditary, man. That's what it is.
I had the same thing. I was going to text you and be like, who did it better? Cultists in the Dark, Ari Aster, or whoever made this movie.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I've hidden it as long as I can. I'm going to come out with the horror uncle for this movie. There is something about these movies thus far, even number three, that I just have to admit has the power to creep me out. I don't know how to account for it, other than that, you know, we've talked about before that, like, demon stuff is kind of my wheelhouse, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about, like, them being watched by this malevolent entity who's going to mess with them that gets past my horror fan defenses. I knew Katie was going to get snatched up and drug off the screen, but my heart rate went up a little. When she crawls back over to the table and is like, Christy, help me, I really felt like that little girl's pitiful and I'm really sad for her.
Okay.
And the idea of waking up in a cult house where I'm going to be killed by a demon gave me the willies. And I can't account for it. I'm not proud of this. But this movie still scared me a little in the sense of, like, even him creeping up on Katie, who I know is possessed and is going to turn around and bark at him with a demon face.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, my heart rate rose a little. Now, I was sitting alone in my house with the lights turned off and all that. But, dude, this ain't my first rodeo. So I'm just going to have to say that there's something about these movies so far that still manages to get a reaction from me. Hello, my name is Jeff, and I like to watch horror movies.
Well, good, man. I'm glad that you're still getting some kind of something out of it.
Yeah. Well, and in the tradition of Forrest Gump, that is all I've got to say about that. I think I've said everything I can possibly say about this movie, and I've even tried to find positives to say about it. So I've given Paranormal Activity 3 my best.
Yeah. Well, I think you've said more niceties about it than I would. So.
Yeah. Probably more than most sane people would.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's like me and the people in the cult. We're the only ones who've got good things to say at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, let's ask the questions. On a scale of 1 to 10, Jeff, where would you put this movie?
Is 5 perfectly acceptable horror?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, half a point doesn't really mean all that much, but I'm stuck somewhere between 3.5 and 3.
Okay.
This would absolutely work for a teenage couple who want a good reason to snuggle up watching a scary movie.
Mm-hmm.
This movie would work for that purpose. And yeah, that's all I've got to say about that. So I'll go 3.5 because I'm sunshine and rainbows.
Okay. That's fair.
And you good, sir?
2.
2.
Yeah.
Anything you would highlight to keep you from, like, just giving it a 0 or anything like that? Is there anything that you're giving it the benefit on?
I really like Dennis.
Yeah.
In this thing. I think that he is really trying his hardest to protect this family that he has inherited. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not his. He's coming in and he's trying his best to be the leader of the pact and the father figure for these girls. And you could tell that he genuinely cares about the girls. Camera in the bedroom aside, that's a dumb decision. But everything else, like, he's trying his hardest to protect these girls and make sure that they're safe.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves Julie. And he really is, in my opinion, the heart of this movie.
Derek, that's well said. And it is about time we had a decent male figure here. You know, she becomes an idiot by the end of the movie, but I even like Julie in this. Like, it makes sense to me that this is the mother of these two women we've seen previously that I've also liked.
Mm-hmm.
Until she starts becoming like, I'm ignoring the obvious. Although, yeah. I guess that is something her daughters could be accused of as well. That's probably not fair. Because Katie calls in the psychic, and Christy definitely is tuned in to craziness. So I withdraw that last comment, but definitely on the likability front.
Yeah, but I also feel like that none of the people in the family take it seriously, right? Like, Julie dismisses it until sorry, man, I just lost my train of thought. Julie dismisses it until she sees all of the furniture in the kitchen fall, right?
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, yeah, we've got to go. Christy and Katie never really take it as serious as you would imagine that they would, even being in the middle of it, which makes me think that maybe there's some kind of naivete spell or ignorance spell that's been put on these people so that they don't take it as serious as they should.
Yeah, maybe.
And again, that's probably us trying to fill in gaps that no one else thought of.
Yes.
Yes. But back to my original point, I really enjoyed him. There are several things in this movie that are fun. The Bloody Mary bit is fun. I don't know if fun's the right word, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Attention grabbers.
Yeah, that's the closest to like something new in this one, you know? Mm-hmm. I appreciate you saying that because I hadn't even thought to talk about that. That's another – that friend of Dennis's, I like that guy too.
Randy.
Yeah. Yeah, like he was trying to be a solid dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So two good male characters in this one. It's good.
And I thought the girls that played Katie and Christy did a good job.
Yeah.
With what they had to deal with and stuff. But at this point, it really is just lather, rinse, repeat. And when you dig into them as much as we're digging into them now, you find these holes that you yourself have to fill with information that may not even have been in the writer and producer's minds.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Jeff, I don't know if you know this or not, this is the highest grossing Paranormal Activity movie of the series.
Oh, gosh. No, I did not know that.
So it clearly struck a chord with whoever. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the young lady that I went to this movie with told me, she said, oh, I think that's the best one of the three.
Huh. Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know if, you know, you and I have been at this now for almost 4 years, and we have seen a lot of scary stuff. And I don't know if just because our reviewer hats are on more now than like fans of horror when it comes to watching these movies, I don't know if maybe we graded a little harsher than we should. But I think you're right when you said that, you know, if you're a couple and you're looking for something that you can cuddle up close and get a little frightened and get those adrenaline, you know, get the adrenaline going a little bit, I think this is the movie for you. If you're looking for something that's outside the box or creative in any kind of way, this isn't the movie for you, because this is just the same thing we've seen over the last three movies.
Yeah. 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 They need to quit going to the box of gimmicks and just repeating stuff we've already seen.
Yeah.
Let's do more. Let's do more and be a little bit more creative.
And I think that if you're going to do a Paranormal Activity sequel without Katie, adult Katie, as a big part of it, you're missing the boat on why people like those movies so much.
Yeah, sure.
Or at least, in my opinion, what I think you and I liked the most about those movies.
Yep.
I don't need to see her backstory. I don't need to see, because now you're just piling on more and more and more, and it just gets more eye rolling as the series goes on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I don't know how you make a third movie in this franchise and keep it fresh,
mm-hmm.
but I just know in conjunction with what you're saying, this ain't it. You know?
Yeah. And I wish that, and I know this will never happen because money rules all, especially in Hollywood, but I wish that if you didn't have a good idea that you felt was as solid as the first idea, then you don't do a second movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Just let it sit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
One of my favorite movies ever is the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Mm-hmm.
I could sit and watch that movie all day long, and it's one of the big reasons why I knew that I wanted to be an actor was watching that movie. Mm. And I hate the fact that it's been tarnished with four not as good as the first movie.
Yeah, and that, well that enough was, alone.
Yeah, and that was always my worry with those was, oh, they're going to do, you know, when it was just going to be a trilogy, I was like, oh, they're going to do two more. I hope that they're as creative and original as the first one. And instead, they bombarded it with a bunch of gimmicks that it didn't need.
Yeah. We're definitely in the law of diminishing returns here on this one, for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Sure. So, next question, obviously, did you see something scary?
Man, I'm embarrassed of this question, but I'm gonna say yes. Not because I was particularly scared, but just owning what I said earlier, there were a couple times on this where I was like, oh, don't go over there or whatever it was. So yeah, I saw something mildly scary a couple times.
Yeah. Okay.
I appreciate that. Okay. That's a loaded okay.
I disagree.
Sure.
But I'm happy that we can have that kind of discussion. And I think that, honestly, if we poll 100 people, 50 are going to go your side and 50 are going to go mine.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's kind of you. Maybe less on my side of the equation, but there could be a couple.
No, I truly do, though. I think that sometimes the fact that we watch this sort of movie every week sort of dilutes things for us. Mm. I do think that this is garbage, but I think that a lot of times when I'm the harsher critic of the two of us, that if you put 100 people in the same room, 50 people are going to go, yeah, that makes sense, and go my way, and 50 people or more are going to go your way. And I think for a movie like this, where there are significant jump scares and things like that, I think that more people will come out of this thinking, oh, yeah, I got spooked a little bit.
Yeah. Very generous. Very generous.
I'm just the old man cynic.
I think quite reasonably. Yeah. Quite reasonably.
Well, all right,
well,
guys.
That's it. We've done this movie justice.
Yeah, I think so. You've heard our opinions. Now we would like to hear from you. And the best way to do that is to join our Facebook group, We Saw Something Scary, and let us know what you're thinking about this series so far. Do you agree with Jeff and I? Do you have different opinions? Like I said, we would love to hear from you. And join that Facebook group, We Saw Something Scary. If you're a trivia fan, I definitely encourage you to join the group every Saturday night. A section of the group get together and do some horror trivia. So if that is something that you would be interested in, make sure and head on over there for that. And then, of course, we would love for you to give us those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. Make sure and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from. We're everywhere: Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, YouTube, all the above. Just make sure that you've got that subscription button hit, and that we come into your podcasting app every week for free. And of course, if you love us and you want to help us out, you can always go to patreon.com/scarypodcast and sign up for our Patreon subscription. And once a month, you will receive a bonus episode that only you and you alone will get. And we are very thankful for those of you who have decided to partner with us on Patreon. And we hope that some more of you guys will be inclined to do so in the near future. He's at Right Jeff. I'm at Derek Zoo. And next week, we come back with Paranormal Activity 4. But in the meantime, we hope you guys have a great week. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you guys back here next week. Have a great week. Bye-bye, man.